Hey, what's going on? Welcome to The Doug Show. My name's Doug Cunnington, and I'm pumped to have a guest on, my good friend Jesse Lakes. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. Thanks, Doug. It's good to be back.
And it's been way too long. I think you are the most frequent guest on The Doug Show. In fact, about a year ago, you were here in studio. It might be closer to a year and a half. So as friends and professional acquaintances, we have not been doing a good job keeping up with each other. But you're on the show, and we're going to talk about mastering Amazon Associates in 2025, 2026. And the thing is, I've been talking a lot of smack about how, you know, niche sites are dead. I'm like, don't waste your time with Amazon. Don't waste your time with basically all the stuff that I used to talk about before. And part of this is like the change that I saw and what I'm into now. And one thing that I am aware of, although I haven't said it in those episodes, I'm not really looking for this sort of information. I'm not looking for success stories. I'm out of the loop. I've unsubscribed from, you know, YouTube channels. I'm not looking in Facebook groups. I'm not watching YouTube videos on this topic. I'm watching completely different stuff unrelated to marketing. So I'm not finding that information. Now, we're going to talk about some details of Mastering Amazon Associates, which you have a new version of your book out there.
Yeah.
And it's by you and the Genius Link team out there. So we'll get into the details, but you've been on the show a ton. We'll link back to some of the previous episodes, but just in a nutshell, who are you? What's Genius Link? And then we'll get into some more details on Amazon Associates.
Yeah. So in short, I'm an unfortunate student of the Amazon Associates program for the last like 20 some odd years. There's various lengths of this story, but yeah, it started playing with affiliate marketing back in the .com crash, and then used it to help support a alternative lifestyle of bumming around, and then ultimately found there were some pretty big gaps and some pretty huge opportunities. So started building services, software specifically to help fill those. And now fortunately work with thousands of different publishers and bloggers and creators to help them, yeah, really turn their passion into a livelihood and earn something reasonable from Amazon. So it's been a crazy version, but who am I? Yeah, just some dude that's likes to learn about affiliate marketing, believe it or not.
And you do have a very cool story. So I encourage people to check that out or head over to the Genius Link blog. I think, you know, you cover some of the backstory because, I mean, when you think about affiliate marketing as we know it online, I mean, you were there from like kind of the beginning, and that's insane. And again, your story is cool because you did bum around for a bit and then ended up in the high tech world and then running your own startup. So very cool story.
What a journey. I'm sure we can reference some other earlier version where I told the story ad nauseam.
Right? We'll for sure. Okay. And then you mentioned Genius Link helps creators earn money, basically. Mm-hmm. In the 90-second version, like what does Genius Link actually do behind the scenes to help people out?
Yeah, there's a number of different problems that we've solved within Amazon's ecosystem. Kind of the two, three biggest are that Amazon is very much focused on global domination. And as they've kind of started to move their, you know, their risk pieces around the world, they create these different storefronts. And each of these storefronts are really opportunities, are really optimized for specific regions, which leaves a lot of opportunity for you, especially when you have any bit of a global audience, because Amazon does a horrible job or no job at all with geo-targeting. So one of the first things that Genius Link does is make sure that your global audience is sent to the right product in a place where they can easily buy, and then uses your affiliate tracking information so you get credit for that. So taking care of your global audiences first. We also do mobile deep linking. So many of the world's consumers are using their phone to transact. Amazon, while they are known for their website, they also have an incredible app, and it's one of the most downloaded commerce apps out there. So almost everyone has it. And when you can get someone to buy that product you're recommending inside the app, the conversion rate is way higher. So mobile deep link is another aspect of it. Amazon Associates is used to be the way you could always monetize all your Amazon links. That's expanded as well. There's this whole new seller network model where you can actually get revenue directly from the sellers on Amazon, and that's usually a lot more on a per click basis. We also help with multi-retailer, so forth and so on. But yeah, the localization, the mobile deep linking are kind of two of our marquee features. And there's a lot of other stuff that really kind of helps wrap it around so that when you use a Genius link, you're getting a better conversion rate, which ultimately means more money in your pocket.
Perfect. Okay. As I mentioned, I've been doing a lot of videos about me not recommending Amazon Associates or niche sites or content websites. And in a nutshell, I did that for a few years and I get bored after about 5 years on a thing. I get pretty obsessed. And then I like to learn new things and I slowly adapt while I leave other things behind. I'm not unique in that way, but as I look back at my career, that's kind of what happened. Now, the thing is I've stopped talking about it as much. However, there's a lot of people that I think they're going to ChatGPT or somewhere else. And they're saying, hey, is Amazon a good way? Or what about affiliate marketing with websites? They end up on my site and that's the first time they see anything about it. And they're like, oh, this seems pretty good. The problem is I wrote that article 8 years ago. So, and I have very little incentive to go and clean it up or change it or anything like that.
Absolutely.
So anyway, people are asking, so I'm doing these videos. Now, you just put out a new version here and I mentioned that I'm not really seeing these success stories because I'm not looking. Can you give some examples who is doing well with Amazon Associates these days? Is it just different platforms that I'm not looking at? And I'll leave it open and I won't lead the witness in this case.
We're seeing success still kind of honestly across the board. Yes, there are some areas that have definitely been hit, right? And one of the areas where you were a leading voice for a long time is really that niche and authority website. And I think it's not that they're not able to monetize Amazon or use Amazon as a core revenue stream like they used to. It's just, it's a challenge on the other side of the coin where Google has made it incredibly difficult to bring the traffic that they can then monetize. Amazon's doing incredibly well as a business, right? The retail side, it continues, their stock price is just up and up. They continue to sell more and more and more. They continue to also be it's the next 8 largest retailers combined have approximately the same market share as Amazon does, 40 some odd percent US e-commerce market share belongs to Amazon. So Amazon affiliate hasn't fallen off. I think it's really the challenge kind of on the backside of getting traffic. So I'm kind of sidestepping your question to a little bit. Niche and authority sites, we don't see them as prevalent as they once were. And again, I think that's not because of the monetization, but more of the traffic. On the flip side, we're seeing, 1 or 2 or 3 person teams really focused around a creator, video first, working on social media, blowing up. We've been very fortunate to work with some of the largest, mass media brands out there. And we see that, while they're relatively large clients for us and often, in the top 10, some of the other top 10 clients are, these very small teams that are very focused around helping people find deals or products or whatever it might be via a Facebook group or a TikTok channel or, Instagram Reels. And it's been incredibly exciting to see how, again, the focused work, they're putting a lot of effort, but it's a relatively small team being agile, moving quick and earning significant sums of money from Amazon.
So to be specific, I'll just name some platforms. So is it YouTube and Instagram and TikTok and the usual suspects where a lot of conversations are happening? Can you generalize?
Yeah. So yes and no. Taking a step back, right? There was this for a long time, there was this kind of rule of thumb that you needed to create content unique to each of the platforms, right? If it was a TikTok video, it had to be vertical and it had to be short, et cetera. And if it was going to be YouTube, it needed to be long form, et cetera. And those rules are definitely kind of starting to disappear. This whole create once, use everywhere ideas is really proliferated. So that same content, one creator is often on essentially all the channels, because there's amazing tools. Repurpose.io is one of my favorites that you build it once and it'll take all that work out of there and just get the content across the board. So, you know, back to what channel specifically? Well, yeah, YouTube is great for longer form content, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't clip your videos and put them everywhere else to also include your affiliate links, because, you know, TikTok, they're looking for the, you know, the quick hit. And if it's an impulse buy, you know, that's awesome to include your affiliate link there as well. So I can't say one platform over the other for one specific reason, other than YouTube traditionally has been better and continues to be in a pretty good spot, but do them all.
Okay. That sounds overwhelming, but
repurpose.io again, right. This is they're great guys. It's cool technology, but it's so easy now to just plug it in and just push one and it ends up everywhere. You know, it's really meeting the consumer with where they're at. And there's multiple different facets of that idea. But yeah, if your consumers are spending more time on Facebook and during times that they would buy, awesome. If they're, you know, on YouTube when they need to make a purchasing decision, then you're meeting them there too.
Okay. And in an upcoming episode where we're actually behind the scenes, we're going to record this all in the same day, in the same session.
I'll be wearing the same shirt. Well,
you know what? I will too, unless I do a wardrobe change, but I didn't prepare for that. So the next episode, we're going to talk about video, because you have been spending more time on video. So you're speaking on this from firsthand knowledge of like publishing and getting it out to all the platforms. And of course, meet the customers where they are, and don't do what I do where I like put up barriers and make it harder. Like my recent videos, I'm doing like a 1 minute guitar intro. It's like, I'm trying to push people away. You know, they really have to want to be there. So, okay.
There's some philosophy behind that as well, which I'm sure we'll get into at some point, but no, I applaud that as well.
Okay. So things have changed. Like they constantly do. I mean, again, you've been in this industry for 20 years. You've had to pivot, and like the audience has been in different places. Consumer habits are completely different. I mean, little side story. So I ordered some stuff on Amazon recently, as most of us do, like once a week or something like that. So, and I'm in a hub area, so half the stuff I buy, I could like get today or like overnight. And I know not everyone's in that situation, but like, and you're in that spot too, right? Like they have drones.
I'm in the shadows of Amazon. Exactly. Exactly. I haven't got a drone delivery yet, but yeah.
And Jeff goes out and like delivers it himself to your place. So you're so close. So the thing is, I ordered a couple things, had to return them. And one issue, like I've been doing research and I watch a lot of YouTube, and I end up on some websites, but it's clear the information's wrong. I'm seeing AI overviews that are incorrect. So I've like ordered the wrong parts. I was like doing some wiring work on a guitar. Yesterday I spent like an embarrassing amount. I spent about 6 or 7 hours like wiring something that should take like a few minutes, and it still didn't work.
Oh, no.
I had the wrong part. And then I watched like incorrect information. And anyway, so all this bad sort of stuff. And I'm my trust is lower, but one good thing, I was able to return stuff via Amazon and I ordered a bunch more stuff, but I'm like very hesitant to trust the information that I find from websites. Now, I mean, videos are usually better, but insane that it, like I watched something and I was like, this is wrong. Like, but I didn't know until I wired it up, which is like not cool. So all that to say, I did have a question buried in there, but like people do buy so much from Amazon, and there's still, I mean, I buy more now than I did in the past, but things have shifted. So you have a new version of the book. Can you tell us about some of the things that changed from, you know, whatever version 1.1 and 2 and so on? So what's different now?
Yeah. So that's a great question. I want to actually, if you don't mind, can we take a quick step back about,
please.
It is crazy how confidently AI is helping us be in sharing wrong information, right? You know, I love ChatGPT. I use it every single day, but it's, you know, the point that you're making, I think is a really important one, is that it's empowering, especially the written word, where it's relatively easy to crank out AI slop to have a few details wrong, and those details matter a ton, especially when you're connecting things, you need specific parts, which I think kind of goes back to kind of one of the themes we're really kind of hitting on today is around for bloggers in 2025. It's not just, yes, use the tools available for you to be efficient, but when you can actually confidently make a video along with having written word, I think that goes so much further and just proving that authenticity. And I think that's honestly where we're going to see the future moving, is that you need the content to be easily indexable to show up on the little bit of, Google SEO or wherever to be there. But ultimately, people are going to trust a real video, not a 30-second Sora video that's all animated, whatever. But you longer form, working through, talking through. I think that's one of the last vectors where there really is a lot of authenticity left. So, back to what do bloggers do in 2025 to make Amazon Associates revenue? I think, as you alluded to, video is a key piece of that because of the misinformation that comes from little bits here and there. And again, I don't know your scenario super specifically, and hopefully it wasn't a video, long form video that led you astray. But
so, funny thing, since we are getting into the details, and thanks for going back to this, because it is important. Like I was already hesitant to trust the AI overviews because I know where a lot of the content came from for the things that I'm searching for. It's from like websites that I hired people to write content for, and they didn't know what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. And we have AI eating its tail at this point where people are creating content based on that. And it was some very basic things that AI should be very, very good at, and it was recommending. So in this instance yesterday, so I'm basically ignoring the AI overviews. I'll look just to confirm the inaccuracy, but I won't use that. But
it's fun to catch AI in a lie, but that's insane. Isn't helpful.
It's so crazy. And it's like, oh, is that actually right? It's like, nope, it's not right. I don't know what I was saying. It's like, man, get your shit together.
Exactly. If I'm going to trust you. Yeah.
So in this case, it actually was a long form video. It was only like 3 minutes, but technically long form video.
Yeah.
And it was like unclear for which part it was for. So this person had ordered something that was different than what the normal default thing is out there in the world. So imagine, I don't know if you got like a 9-volt battery and then the polarity was switched. Bad example, because you flip it. But basically it's that. And he's like, this one was different, but he didn't like emphasize that. So as I went through, I realized it before it got too bad, but then I had other failure points. So it's the first time that I've worked on guitar wiring, and I've taken a lot of electrical engineering classes, but like 25 years ago. So I'm kind of out of practice soldering. And so there were a number of things that slowed me down, but like it's all going to work. I didn't destroy anything, but it was a little frustrating to like, you have the wrong part and then you got to send it back and the blah, blah, blah.
So just to challenge you real quick, would you have had that same challenge 5 years ago though? Because DIY, at least for me, it's 3 steps forward, 2 backwards, spin around a little bit. Like I'm not a great DIYer, but I also don't have the background that you do as well.
Great question. One issue, I think I would have been better off a few years ago. And the only thing is there's too much information now and a lot of it's wrong. Because like what I started to see, I'm pretty sure there's websites that are taking PDFs of wiring diagrams. And this is just the specific industry and thing that I was looking at yesterday, but I was like, these are from another website and the text around it seems AI written and it looks like just a traffic grab. So they're taking PDFs, repackaging it, writing some garbagey content, and then Google is ranking it. And then I go there and I'm like, this looks like BS. The URL is derivative of another site that I know of. And I'm like, marketers ruin everything. There's some, just all this garbage. And then probably, AI is gobbling up that inaccurate content. And then other people are making those diagrams and it's like inaccurate. It's just not right. So I have to be very careful from which sources I'm going to. All that to say, 5 years ago, fewer sites. I probably would have, like, you Google it, like three sites come up or whatever. And then it's just, there's too much information that seems untrustworthy, or that seems like it could be trustworthy, but now I'm finding that I'm like, it's much harder to find what to trust. And I think distilled down, it's video, because that's hard to fake. There's a couple websites where they actually had, I mean, these are companies that sell these materials. So they have photos, and I could tell they're actual photos of them wiring step by step, like you would see in a forum in 2010 or whatever. Like that's what it would be. So,
okay. I don't know. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for diving down that with me for a minute.
Yeah. So
what's changed?
Yeah.
So Amazon changes, and that, of course, you know, triggers us to have to update. The biggest updates, I think, between 1.3 and 1.4, which we published earlier this year, is twofold. One is that for the longest time, Amazon never allowed affiliate links in email. You would see someone do it here and there, but that was probably because they hadn't been caught yet. But that was back to kind of this whole, you know, all these different pieces. Social media is great, but it's rent and land. You know, your websites, you have to battle, you know, Google for traffic. But email marketing, email newsletters have always been kind of held at a pretty high standard as owning your traffic in one of the cleanest, clearest ways to interface with your audience. Well, as of last March, Amazon's cool with that now. And that's obviously a huge difference to be able to put affiliate links directly into the content that you're sending your audience and they're engaging with and trusting it. So that was a big change, and that definitely needed an update. And then the second piece that really needed some clarification and push, and we actually, there's a lot more to it than just these two pieces, but these are the biggest ones that Amazon did, is back this whole seller network push. So let me take just a quick step back, because I think this is important for anyone that's watching that is curious about monetizing with Amazon. But, you know, as mentioned earlier, Amazon has been the default way to monetize clicks, recommendations on Amazon for, you know, since 1996 is when I think they started the affiliate program. So closing on 30 years. Amazon Associates, over the last decade or so, it's been kind of their average commission rate has continued to drop, and it's just been a bit more of a challenge to monetize at the higher levels that it was before. And what we're seeing is that Amazon has actually introduced some relatively new technology that opened up this new kind of cottage marketplace. But the idea of ads becoming another major pillar of Amazon, where they're getting people to, you know, buy ads inside the Amazon site, has led them to build something called the Attribution API. And the gist of it is that Amazon allows you to have these five different parameters you can attach to an Amazon link that allows you to track different sales coming in. Now, it's kind of the opposite of Associates, where they're not paying you for those sales, but the Attribution API gives you a pretty clean and very data forward way to see that traffic from other sources. So maybe it's Facebook ads, maybe it's, you know, Google ads coming through. On top of that, the retail team also offer this incentive to sellers where they would discount up to like 10% of their fees if they drove traffic from offsite. So instead of, you know, relying on Amazon being the person that brings the traffic, if the seller can bring the traffic and then sell on the Amazon platform, they get a discount. So with having clean attribution and having incentive for sellers to send this traffic, these seller networks are essentially an affiliate network that sits on top of Amazon that really kind of facilitates the interaction between creators, publishers, bloggers, and these different brands. And because these different brands, these different sellers already have some degree of a marketing budget, you're seeing a much higher commission rate that can come out of it. So instead of an average of like 3.5% from Associates, you're going to get like 18, 20, 30%, which obviously is comes down to brass tacks, and your earnings per click is pretty awesome. So anyway, Amazon last December put out some clarifying language finally around what is and isn't allowed. For a while, you technically could build a link that included both your Associates information as well as this additional attribution information and essentially double dip. That's not cool. Amazon made that very clear that you can't do both of those. So those were kind of the two biggest changes that necessitated a pretty major update to the book. I'll take a breath there. You have a question.
Yeah. No, this is pretty cool. So, and I'll quickly summarize the couple and then ask a follow-up. So number one, you mentioned you could put affiliate links in emails, which is pretty cool. I haven't, you know, actually done much with that. But now that you mentioned it, I was like, oh yeah, I can do that. And people open emails and, you know, my specific email list are not geared towards like products. So I know it's not going to convert as well as if I had a email list around a certain topic. And I'm like, I use this thing to do X. Not as direct, but still effective.
Right.
The seller network thing, very interesting. And you mentioned Amazon basically having, they earn a lot of money from basically the sellers running ads. Yeah. And when you hop over and you search for something, it's sponsored all over exactly. the place. When you take a exactly. look, it's just everywhere. And I think I started running across videos that Amazon was earning some pretty insane amount of their revenue from ads. And, you know, it's quite an ecosystem. So because of that, they have a good API. So now the attribution can be tracked all over. And so the seller network, it sits external to Amazon. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah.
Can you tell us more about that? Like let's say, obviously, I have a YouTube channel. So if I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, I want to tap into the seller network, I'm curious, like, are there some good opportunities? How does that look?
Yeah. So there's a handful of different seller networks now. So Levanta is one of the earliest. Full disclosure, we're a small investor in that. So follow them very closely. But they're one of a growing number. And in fact, we've seen, you know, some of these smaller companies pop up with seller networks. We're also seeing some of the large affiliate networks also doing an Amazon play. You know, Impact has a number of brands that they sell on Amazon that can be, you know, monetized this as well. But the gist is you now have this affiliate network very optimized for Amazon. And then again, it's kind of that two-sided marketplace where you have the sellers, the brands that have, you know, vacuums or battery caddies or Amazon, of course, you sell everything on Amazon. So they've got these different products that you will then kind of opt into, or you know, you have to get a blanket, you know, these are all the different products you earn commissions on. So then for your YouTube channel, you would essentially go, okay, yeah, I want to talk about product X, Y, and Z. Awesome. Well, here's product, you know, X, Y, and you know, something similar to Z. They're there. And you'd use an attribution link versus an associates link to earn from that. Of course, Genius Link will make that all super easy for you and take out a lot of the complication. But the gist is, instead of, yeah, just drop in amazon.com/blah, blah, it's amazon.com/, MAAS equals blah, 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 blah. So slightly different links. The tracking, again, is super important, but I don't bore you with the details right here.
Perfect. And just to confirm, so at that point, you're paid by the seller network, which mm-hmm. comes from the seller, mm-hmm. not Amazon Associates, because you mentioned that you can't double dip and earn mm-hmm. from both places. Is that accurate?
That's exactly it. Exactly. Yeah. And then Associates is, you know, it's a 90-day lag, and the seller networks are, you know, paying quicker. Typically, the commissions are higher, the earnings per click is higher. It's pretty cool. The kicker is it's maybe 2 million products spread across, you know, the largest seller networks versus 600 million across all of Amazon Marketplace. So it's very specific products, but some pretty good brands these days. So it's a pretty cool model.
And then can you do the deep linking that you mentioned before? So in this case, someone yep. watches my YouTube video and I'm like, this product. And what we don't want is to have friction, right? We don't want them to end up on the website. They're like, oh, I have to create an account. You want them to go to the Amazon app on their phone so they could like just order the thing and have it show up as soon as possible. So
exactly. Yeah. Social media apps in general will pop open a browser that's still inside the app because they want to watch you shop. They want to watch you browse because their whole thing is serving ads to you. And the more they know about you, the more behavior they see from you, the better they can build the profile, the more target the ads. So yeah, by default, when you click on a link from YouTube or Facebook or you know Instagram, it's going to keep you in the sandbox browser. So yeah, that mobile deep link will send you into the Amazon app where you're probably, if you download the app, perma logged in versus, to your point, the sandbox browsers, you're typically not logged in because they're going to lose cookies or every update, you know, flushes the cookies, et cetera. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, huge difference in conversion.
Sandbox browser, meaning, you know, I'm in Instagram and I click on the little link and then it opens the browser within Instagram. So it's, exactly. I'm not logged in and it's weird.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of a pain, but Instagram likes it because they can look over your shoulder and see what you interact with or what you buy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I was like, oh man, what a crazy picture they have, you know, across, I hope the companies don't talk, you know, what kind of tangled web have I created here?
Oh, right. Unless it's Meta and they own both Facebook and Instagram, you know, and WhatsApp. But we're not going to talk about that.
Okay. So those are huge changes. So any other details on the seller network that are important for us to know?
Well, yeah, again, going back to where we kind of started the conversation, right? As a blogger, you know, a website owner in today, what's different? How do you make it work? And again, I think that's one of the key pieces that Amazon Associates is an amazing affiliate program, but that's kind of become table stakes, right? For those that are really kind of figuring out how to optimize it, paying more attention to these seller networks and finding the products. You know, if you're going to recommend, let me take a step back. Authenticity is really important, right? Recommend products that you know, because we don't want to get in the situation where you're misrecommending or misconfiguring things because really you're just, you know, chilling for a dollar. That's not cool. Affiliate marketing, when it works well, has a deep authenticity component. But when you are looking, you're working on your website and, you know, again, Amazon sells everything, but if you're flipping through, you know, Lavanta or Partner Boost or some of these other seller networks, Archer Affiliate, there's a handful of great ones, Wayward, et cetera. You can find different products that, again, if you've got familiarity, I'm going to butcher that, or you can, you know, works well into kind of that flow using a product that has a seller network backing, the seller is going to pay you, will yield a much more per click than kind of the associates baseline.
Okay. And can you remind me what's the typical payout from a seller network? I know it's a range, but just so people know the scope of like several times more.
Yeah. So I think on average associates is about 3.5%. And the seller networks are about 18.5%, just shy of 20.
Okay.
So it's dramatic. Approximately 5x more. Yeah.
Yeah. Dramatic difference. And again, we always love Amazon Associates in the past. I'm saying we is a royal we, it's me, because it converted so well because people like
so incredibly
comfortable.
Well.
And then in this case, like they go to Amazon, but you're getting paid from the seller network, not associates. So it's 5x more on average.
Right. And there are some nuances here as well. With the seller networks, the attribution window is longer, but you don't get paid for halo purchases. Amazon also has a thing internally called Creator Connections, which is kind of that seller network model that they've been working on as well. So you'll get paid a baseline or an additional fee on top of associates. So it's, again, why is the book updated? Because there's a lot of these nuances now, in particular because the sellers are beginning more and more invested in working directly through these channels to work with the influencers, creators, publishers, et cetera.
Perfect. Okay. So we only have like a few more minutes before we wrap up this episode. And I will, if you're up for it, I want to give you the opportunity to mention, like, if someone was just getting started with Amazon Associates, they don't have an existing platform, how you would sort of guide them to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't pin you down on any like specific platform, but you could make an example and you could make up a person who's into a certain thing and give an example on how one might get started from sort of whatever the first 6 months or something like that.
Yeah. So your path is going to be unique, period. But one of the things that we spend a lot of time talking about is that it's so important to build your community before you try to start monetizing your community. So if this is the very first 6 months in your journey, focus on your craft, focus on your engagement, focus on getting that information out, because that's so important to build that baseline. Once you are starting to get some engagement and people are asking for product recommendations or asking, you know, XYZ that would, you know, an affiliate link would fit well with, that's really kind of time to start diving into it. Granted, affiliate is often one of the very first monetization channels, especially in social media versus, you know, getting paid ads or brand deals, et cetera. Once you have engagement in that community kind of really ticking, you found your passion, you found your niche, you figured out how to kind of create content on a regular basis, and you are starting to monetize, definitely recommend Amazon as one of the very first affiliate programs you play with, because as you mentioned, it it monetizes so incredibly well. There's such a diverse range of products that are supported there. It's just easy to get started with, and that'll build your baseline. So play with that a little bit. Once you start to see things coming through, realize that there is some product market fit between what you are recommending with your audience there as well, then it's time to start optimizing. And there's a lot of ways you can optimize. And again, that's really where GeniusLink has spent a lot of time, is helping those clients that are ready to take, you know, that passion and really kind of take that next step. And whether it's a full-time job or just, you know, a solid side hustle, start to give them some of those tools there. And that includes, yeah, paying attention to how international your audience is, starting to pay attention to mobile deep linking so you convert better with everyone on mobile, et cetera. But back to kind of some other those early pieces, you know, you will know where and how to get that information out. Again, is it a newsletter? Well, if it's a newsletter, you know, how are you building that newsletter? Is it 100% Substack? Okay, that's awesome. That's a great place to start. Is there a video component of it? Well, if there's a video component, are you starting with YouTube or are you starting with TikTok, or do you plan to go wide to begin with? And then how are you building that audience, et cetera? So it's less and less platform dependent. It's more about kind of having that business mentality mindset, but knowing that it starts with a strong audience and kind of growing from there. That was incredibly broad. Happy to answer any specifics off of that, but it's everyone's path's going to be a little bit different.
So the one follow-up, and again, that was broad. If people want to learn more, get the book, you know, we'll put a link out there. So it's on Amazon, by the way.
Surprise.
What's a common mistake that, you know, people at the beginning make? And you already mentioned, like, try to monetize too early. That's obviously, you don't want to do that. You want to build your audience and have people that trust you and they want to learn from you. So what's another mistake people make?
So unfortunately, there's about 10 mistakes people commonly make. And there's a whole chapter in the book about that. But really, Amazon has very specific rules on how you play their game. And if you don't know the rules, at some point, you're going to lose the game. So I think the one mistake that people make very, unfortunately, too regularly is not spending the time to read the operating agreement and the policies. And I get that that's a massive headache. So while I 100% encourage it, there are cheats for the short term. You should still always read it. You know, I think it's chapter 3 in the book is a good one. Amazon has their Associates University. It's got some good information, et cetera. But definitely take just a little bit of time and learn what is okay, because just mimicking and replicating what you see out there doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right way to do or that it's okay. They may have a special agreement. They may not have gotten caught yet, but just don't willy-nilly do what you think is right for you or, you know, will help Amazon. Read the rules. Know how to play the game, because that's ultimately how you're going to win the game.
It's a good read. Just get a cup of coffee or your favorite energy drink and then you go through it. It's not as long as you think it would be, although there's probably links to like 45-page documents out there, but yeah,
it's rules. Exactly. It's not bad. Just do it. Take some notes, because yeah, there's nothing worse than hitting, you know, your best month ever and then Amazon sending you a nasty gram and then clawing back the last 3 months of commissions. Like that is the worst feeling in the world. Trust me.
No fun. All right, Jesse, for people that want to learn more, where should they find you?
So I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, for better or worse. So yeah, I think it's just LinkedIn/something/ Jesse Lake. So JesseLakes. But also feel free to email me. I love talking about this stuff. And I'm just simply JL, my initials, at GENI.US. So yeah, send me a note. I love this stuff. Let me know how I can help.
All right. We'll link up so people can find it really easy. Thanks a lot, Jesse.
Absolutely. Cheers.